Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My feet are planted on this rock, and I will not be shaken.
My hope it
comes from you alone,
my Lord and my salvation.
Your praise is always on my lips. Your word is living in my heart,
and I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord.
You fill my life with greater joy. Yes, I delight myself in you, and I will praise you with a new song. My soul will bless you, Lord. When I'm weak, you make me strong. When I'm poor, I know I'm rich.
Yes, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you have given unto us so that we can praise and worship and glorify your holy name. Because, oh Lord, in you all things are possible. Lord, where the world says it isn't, you say it is. Where people say it isn't, you say it is. Where healing is, it's in you, Lord. So we thank you now in advance, oh God. Take this service over. I pray your anointing fall upon this service today in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Let's sing unto the Lord.
He came. That's why Jesus came.
Yes,
he's no longer a babe, but he's a king. And
yes,
he's going to come back as a king of kings.
Yes,
and the Lord of lords.
Yes.
Put this up.
He came to live a perfect life. He came to be living word our life. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. That's why we praise him, and that's why we sing.
Because you
Lord.
Came to earth.
Thank you,
and
Jesus.
We're going to sing praise to him. Praise
you,
Adonai.
Jesus.
Who is like
worship you, God.
Wrote this song last week, and it's God can do anything, the impossible he'll do.
God can do anything, the impossible he'll do. God can do anything. Trust his word is true.
It's true.
You can say unto that mountain, be thou removed. see him. Even sacrifice his life by dying for you and me.
Says he'll honor the desires of our heart. Dream big. Dream big. If you dream small, you receive small. You dream big, you're going to receive abundance. And I do believe that. I believe that from the depths of my heart. Now, but if you will say it along with me, this is the living word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true. From Genesis to Revelation. Today I will be taught from the Word of God. My heart is receptive and my spirit is alive as I learn to submit my will to His will. I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. And I enjoy you doing that. I forgot that. So, yes, lift your Bible up and do that. But that is it. This is the living Word of God. This is it. It's not dead. It is alive. People try to put it to be dead. People try to put it to be nothing but a historical book, which it is. But it's so much more because it's what gives you life. This Word gives you life. Where no other Word can give you life, the Word of God can. And you know, this morning I think it would be a good time. I'm titling my message this morning, My New Year's Resolution. You know, how many make New Year's resolution? Does it last more than a day? I know I've made New Year's resolutions to go on a diet and lose 50 pounds. It lasts one day until mom makes a good meal, and guess what? I'm over with it. So, but with God, we can make a New Year's resolution that will stay every day for the rest of the year, for the rest of your life. And it says this, and I say this, this is my resolution. Be still. Be still and depend on God. Be still and depend on God. See, this is a good time with a new year coming to learn this principle of God. We have had seasons of battle with no victory. Why do we put our faith on our own strength and not on the power of God? Why? So many times we end up looking to our own strength and we do not look to God for the answer. We need to become the victor and not the victim. In the mentality of today's culture, you're a victim 90% of the time. And you never receive a victor until you stomp your feet on somebody else's head. That's not the way God wants it. I believe in God. We can be victor over Satan all the time. Don't become a victim, but become a victor. We spin our wheels in all directions, fighting our way out of a wet paper bag. Meanwhile, while we are being distracted, the enemy can come and do damage to our lives, to our homes, and to our family if we allow him. Do you understand that? We spin our wheels. So many times, we're spinning our wheels trying to get through things, trying to do it within yourself, trying to do it your way, where the devil is in the background destroying what you're doing. That's what he's there to do. Remember what his philosophy is. To steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's philosophy. That's his goal. That's his purpose. God's purpose is to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. God's purpose is to all things are possible through God. With man, it's not. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. See, that's the mentality we need today, is to quit looking at things that we cannot and have no control over and give them over to the Lord. Hallelujah. We are called to be still and depend upon God in all things. Turn with me this morning to Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 46. I'm going to read the whole chapter. The whole chapter. By the way, it's only 11 verses. So don't get worried. Chapter 46 in Psalms, and it comes up on the board for you. I love the very first part of this because it sets a precedence as to where we are going today. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as at the break of the dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Lord, take this message. God, bless it, anoint it. I pray in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. The very first thing I think we need to understand is where that scripture starts off. You know, God is our refuge. God is our strength. Right? Men will always do you wrong, but God will never do you wrong. It says to be still. Be still. See, King David calls on God and calls God a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. The Hebrew word is translated for trouble literally means a tight space. A tight space. Have you ever been in a tight space? Were you pressed on every side? Were your options limited? and your freedom restricted, or your progress arrested. When you feel like a victim and not a victor. You know, I believe David wrote this psalm with an understanding that he had been in some tight places. He had been in some tight spaces. There was one point in time in David's walk. Understand, Saul was anointed king. Saul disobeyed God. God told Samuel, go anoint another one. He went into the house of David and he ended up anointing David as king. Here is a young man anointed king, but was he king at that point in time? He went to every opposition there was that come against him. Okay? At one point in time, Saul was so much against David, he was wanting to kill David. David never went against Saul. David ended up in a cave with his men, and his men was perplexed. And David, you have the whole nation there for you. Let's go after Saul. David said, no, I cannot go against the anointed. Because even though he wasn't living it, Saul wasn't living it, Saul was still anointed by God. When God puts an anointing on a person, he cannot take it away. You know, he removes his presence because of what their actions are. I believe he removed his presence from Saul and gave his presence to David. You know, his blessing meant an awful lot. He blessed David just like he blesses every one of you. See, you are blessed in God. You are blessed. You are double portion. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. Come on, look to him. I'm blessed. Because you are. And do not let the devil or anyone else in our world or society turn that from you, because you are. David was blessed. Okay? But he went through some tight spaces. He went through some troubling times. He went through some things that were uncontrollable. He had no control over them. And this scripture, when it says he was a very present help in trouble, it has two specific places when it talks about. Number one, it talks about uncontrollable circumstances. Uncontrollable circumstances. Now, I want to read, and I'm going to take you a little bit into the Amplified today. In verse 46, where it says in verses 2 through 7, I like verse 1 too, by the way. Verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation. A very present help, proved help in trouble. Proved help. Proven. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and turmoil. Shalah. Pause and calmly think of it. See, you take those two scriptures right there, you put into context, and you understand our earth goes through uncontrollable things. Can we control nature? Can we control an earthquake? We can't even predict exactly when an earthquake is going to take place. We have estimation, but we don't have exact. Tornadoes. Patricia, I know you know about tornadoes being in Tennessee, Memphis. Okay? They can give you a bell or a buzzer that will tell you maybe 2 minutes to 5 minutes before. What's that siren going off for? What is that siren? As it came across and wipes out half the town. We cannot control things that are uncontrollable. Okay? Hurricanes, earthquakes. These are things that are naturally nature, things that take place that you have no control over it. So the Bible says, be calm. When it takes place, when that bell rings, hopefully you know now. But when it does, it's a warning to let you know that it's coming. But it cannot take it away. God gives you warnings too. Do you understand that? When calamity comes your way, when the devil comes at you with tooth and nail, God warns you. He gives you warnings, and it's up to you to abide by those and be still and comforted, or be caught in the midst of it and fail. Do you understand that? God does warn us. I also believe it describes spiritual struggles that we go through every day. Spiritual struggles that you go through that the devil is hitting you with. One way or the other, you're going through a struggle, you know, and you don't have the answers. And sometimes you fail. Hey, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not going to tell you every one of my spiritual struggles. I was just, oh, I'm a victor. Sometimes I did become the victim. You know, and when you're the victim and you're down there digging that hole and trying to get yourself out, it doesn't feel so good, does it? You feel pretty bad. But they come. They come. You know, what you saying, Pastor? You trying to put me down? No, I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to encourage you and help you understand. Have you ever had a few storms in your life? Have you ever had a few storms this year? Had a couple this month? See, I want you to think things that you have gone through, and then I'm going to give you an answer. Because God is my help, I will not fear when the foundations are shaken. That's what the scripture is telling you. This is what the Bible is saying. Yes, you'll go through things that are uncontrollable. Yes, you'll go through things that just don't seem right, that you seem like you're the victim and not the victor. Yes, you'll go through them. But God says that He will be your help. He will be your help in the midst of all this. He says, be calm, be still, and depend upon me. That's what God is telling you this morning. Be calm, be still, depend upon me. I will take you through the storm. I will take you through the battle. I'll take you through the struggle. I'll take you through, hallelujah. That's what God is telling you. When we face circumstances over which we have no control, God is our refuge. Be part of that is insurmountable opposition. This is verses 8 through 9. Let me read that to you. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolation of the earth. Verse 8 in the Amplified says, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought the desolations and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow into pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. This is what God does for you. This is how much He loves you. See? He loves you. David spoke of wars. He spoke of bows. He spoke of spears. He spoke of chariots. You ever feel like the whole world's against you? This is where David was. I felt at this point in time in his walk in his life, he was probably, it doesn't say here, but I believe he was probably in that cave. He was probably really in a low spot looking up to God and said, God, you are my refuge. Where can I go? I can't do this on my own. Look at the battlefield. Look at the things. I want you to know how many times God looks and helps you out. Okay, Elijah. They were all against him. In fact, he was prophesying so much that the Canaanites and the Philistines said, we're going to go against him. They weren't going to go against the whole nation of Israel. They were just going to go against him. So they surrounded him. Here he is in this valley. How many of you feel like you've ever been in a valley? Okay, he was in this valley, and his comrade, or his cupbearer, his helper, came to him and said, Elijah, look, we're doomed. Look at them. They surrounded us. We better run. And he said, no. You know, go out and look again. It says he looked six times and saw nothing. but all the armies coming against him. He said, no. Lord, open his spiritual eyes. See, that's exactly where we have to be. Our spiritual eyes. We need to quit looking in the natural and start looking in the spiritual. When he opened the spiritual eyes, the servant went back out and looked, and he says, came back to Elijah and said, whoa, there's a mighty army in back of them. A mighty army of angels in back of them, and they're ready to go to battle. He said, yes, they are. He did not even do anything. He sat there in calmness because he knew that God was his refuge. And it says that the battle was won with not a hand being raised. This is exactly what I'm saying to you this morning. No matter what you feel like you're going through, no matter how deep and down you are, no matter how big of a hole you've dug yourself into, God is your refuge. And God says, open your spiritual eyes. I am here. And who's for me? There's no one can be against me. If you're for me, it doesn't make a difference who is against you as long as you're for God. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? David is telling us that when we face an army that is against which we have no ability to fight, he is telling us to be still and not be afraid. To have the calmness and not be afraid. Because God is our refuge. God is our strength. Let me give you an illustration of this. We have to be children of faith. In 1947, missionaries Dick and Margaret Hellas settled in with their four children by the Mule River in the Hunan province of China. Nearby, a mission church swelled with nearly 1,000 Chinese coming every Sunday. It would have been a happy time, but for the impending war between Chiang Kai-shek and the forces of Mao Zedong. One terrible night, the Hillis family found themselves caught in the crossfire. The bombing reached a crescendo one night as each shell dropped closer to the Hillis home. The house next door exploded, killing all the inhabitants, and it appeared that the Hillis home would be next. The family huddled in the corner as another shell exploded, sending dirt, glass, and brick through the windows and through the walls. The house quaked. The children screamed, momentarily deafened. The family prepared for death, but the shelling abruptly stopped, and the Hullis family cautiously emerged from their corner. The room was filled with debris, but no one was hurt. By and by, as Dick tucked his children into bed, he knelt beside Margaret Ann and noticed a dirty scrap of paper stuffed under her pillow. On it was printed in big childlike letters these words, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As long as you've got God, the shelling will stop. You are safe in the arms of God. Do you understand that? Not only does it say that we are to be still, but I also believe we need to put our dependence upon God. Depend upon the mighty fortress. God uses these troubles to help us say, I don't know what to do, Lord. We are determined people who want to come up with the answers ourselves. We want to do what we can. I mean, come on. I know I'm just talking about Jerry because Jerry, you know, your pastor. I am one that always tries to do things my way. I will try to find the answer. I will go up and down and look and you know, I'll do my very best on my own to find the answer. And when I have gotten to my wits' end and said, there is no, I just don't even know. Lord, I don't have the answer. I need your help. I could just hear God up there talking to Jesus and said, he should have called me a lot sooner. I was there when the trouble started. But I let him do his own thing. Do you understand that's what God does? God was there at the very beginning. He's just waiting for you to open the door and call on him. You know, a lot of times that's exactly what we do as human beings. We wait until we have exploded or done all that we possibly can. We've come to the final conclusion that we've dug a 6-foot hole and we're in it and the dirt's coming on. That's what we do. And then we call and cry out to the Lord. I sure am glad that my Lord loves you. I'm sure glad that my Lord loves me. Because he knows how, even in the midst of saying, Jerry, why didn't you call me at the beginning? Well, Lord, you know, it wasn't that big of a thing. You know, I figured I could do it myself. Yeah, well, look what you got yourself into by doing it yourself. I know, Lord. Forgive me. Help me now. And you, do you know something? He loves you that much, he turns it around. And he takes the curse and makes it a blessing. He takes the victim and make you a victor. Do you understand that? Now that should make you excited to know what God can do in your lives. He has the ability to turn from victim to victor. He has the ability to turn things that are just seem unbearably, uncontrollably. It's not going to happen. I can't even get a job. I've tried over and over and over, Lord, to get a job. I give up, Lord. Well, thank goodness, finally you've given up. And you've given it over to me. Now let's see what I can do. And you'll find job after job come your way because you've given it to God. Do you understand that's exactly the way God works? He doesn't want to be second hand, you know? He doesn't want to be the passenger. Oh, my goodness. I'm driving down the road, and I've got the greatest passenger there is. My wife's on the right side telling me where to go. Jerry, you're supposed to go that way. You know? I love my wife, but sometimes, you know, us men, we know exactly where we're going. I got GPS. I know exactly where I'm going. I put in the GPS. I don't need to have my wife telling me. I know where I'm going. Until it puts me out in the middle of the wilderness. And I'm thinking, why'd you put me here? I'm talking to I'm sure that GPS is going to tell me what to do when I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I got myself stuck on some dirt road. And the GPS had told me to go on that dirt road. My social worker's right next to me. We're both laughing. I said, this is what the GPS led me to? And not only did it want to leave me there, it was going to take me up this one hill that turned from a dirt road to a motorcycle road. And it was saying, you can go up that hill. Keep going straight. I said, yeah, right. I ended up turning left and find my way. And it was a lot easier way because I went back on cement roads and got off the dirt. Can you imagine me and my car on a dirt road? Oh, my goodness. You know, and that's exactly sometimes what we do with God. We work our way, we GPS ourselves, we know what we're doing. We depend on everybody else but God. And when it's all said and done, that's when we say, I give up, Lord. I cannot do this. And then he takes over. And when he takes over, he knows exactly what he is doing. When we turn around and we say, I don't know what to do, we fix our eyes on God, and he handles the situation. We need today a divine strategy. How do I get help from God? Verse 10 and 11 is your answer. The answer is here. Be still and depend on the Lord. That word, be still, means to cease striving, to stop working at it, to relax. That's the problem with humanity. We have a hard time being still. We have a hard time relaxing in this day and age and in this world. Think about the pace of life, especially in Reno. Reno is one of those towns that are like Las Vegas maybe, but not as much. But it's a 24-hour town. So you're here and there, running here, running there, up and down, over and around. There's no peace. There's no time just to sit back and say, stop! I don't know what to do. Instead of running around like a rat race and not getting anything done. God's strategy is countercultural, not of man's ways. Do you understand that? Think about the pace of work. Many of you will start thinking and worrying about all you have to do this week while you're at church. It happens. You know, I've got to do this week. I've got to do that this week. And the preacher's preaching on, and you haven't heard a word the preacher said because you're worried about what you've got to do this week. The things that you have got to accomplish this week is in your mind, so you haven't settled down. You haven't become still and relied and depended upon God. That's what God is telling us to do. Be still, depend upon. Then, when tomorrow takes back place, activity after activity, appointment after appointment, phone call after phone call, in an endless blur until next Sunday arises. And you're back in here thinking on the following week. Please, that is not God's way for you. You know, it'll take care of itself. You know, the Bible tells us to be still. Be still. Sometimes that's, if you get nothing out of this message, get the understanding to be still and depend upon God. You know, we have to understand that to be still, there's concepts on that. Number one, we have to get the schedules put together. You know, one thing, Joel Osteen made a comment. He says, I'm a very scheduled person. I do everything by schedule. If I go out of schedule, I get lost. See? Well, God is telling you sometimes we must simplify our schedule. We must find time for our devotion. We must find time to fellowship with God. We must find time to rest in God. We must find time to study the Bible and pray. These are things that we must learn to do. Okay? When our calendars are under the Spirit's control, we will always reserve time to be with the Lord, time to understand Him, time to be still, time to have His refuge in us. See, we need to understand that we need to follow what the Spirit tells us. Release our cares into God's hands. Only He can solve the insolvable and change the unmerciful. Only He can bring flowers from mud, sunshine out of the storms, produce a rainbow in the sky. That's God doing that. And if you ever see a rainbow, understand that's God producing that rainbow. Sometimes our best is just a mud puddle, waiting for a transition. Sometimes I feel like a mud puddle, waiting for God to turn it around. You know, I like to say it this way, or should I say, waiting for a transfusion from God. You're a mud puddle waiting for a transfusion from God's power, God's Holy Spirit, God's ability. It's His ability that will get you through. He can protect you on the outside. God is our refuge. And strengthen you on the inside. God is our strength. So we are called today to be still and depend on God for all things. And I look at that and I say, okay, 2015 is upon you. There's not a thing. You can't turn it around. You can't say, I really don't wish 2014. I am so done with 2014, and I'm so ready for 2015. Okay? Because I understood and understand the struggles that 2014 has presented, but those are over with. If you can't, go back and look at them, because that will turn you into always looking back and looking at the struggles, and you'll never be able, you'll be the victim and not the victor. See? So God is telling you, let's take 2015, church. Let's take it with the understanding that all things are possible to who? Okay? Even things that are uncontrollable by you, even things that you cannot control, God says He'll control. He will perform miracle after miracle after miracle if you will allow Him. He will bless you beyond your imagination. He will give you things that you thought is impossible. He will present to you jobs that you said, I don't even deserve this. I'm not qualified for it. But God will plop them in your hands. You know, there's a thing of being a generous giver. God wants us to be a generous giver, but you're saying, well, how can I be a generous giver when I don't even have a job? Well, pray God, give me a job so that I can be that generous giver that God, you so want me to be. Amen? And if you can do that, and you can take this coming year, 2015, with that understanding, you will see things happen that are beyond your mind, beyond your imagination. You will see this church prosper to the point where we will not be able to contain all these chairs. We'll be filled with people. Oh, pastor, you're just talking like a pastor. No, I'm prophesying through the Lord that if we will let God be God, then God will bless you. God will bless this church. God wants to bless this church. I believe it from the depths of my heart. God wants to bless this church. But he wants people to be victors and not victims. If you have a victim mentality, you'll never go anywhere. This church will stay what it is. If you have a victor's mentality, this church will expand. Our bus ministry will expand. From one bus, we'll probably need 2 or 3 or 4 buses to get us just that we got. We'll have someone taking and managing the buses and then taking over the bus ministry. I'm looking to God. You want a choir? God's going to give you a 100-voice choir. Hallelujah. All things are possible through God, not through man. I told you this 2 weeks ago, Sharon, when I looked at you and I prophesied over you that God's got mighty things in store for you. We got to stop thinking victim and start thinking victor. God's got an abundant life for you. An abundant life. And he wants to give it to you. And it's not too late. You are God's chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Start living like it. Stop living like a pauper. And start living like a priest. Stop living like a bum. Start living like royalty. That's what God wants. That's what God's telling me to tell you. Let's look to 2015 as what God's going to do. God blesses. Blesses above every proportion that you possibly can. God, I pray, Lord, that we'll bring all these chairs, God, and that you will fill them. That you will fill them in the name of Jesus. But see, now there is a point there. Faith without works is... Aha! So I'm giving you guys an assignment. Let's say God's given you an assignment. God says go to the highways and the byways and bring them in. Did you understand that when the bridegroom had his feast, first he went to the elect. They didn't accept him. Then he went to the priesthood. They didn't accept him. Then he went to the royalty, and they didn't accept him. So what did he tell his disciples? Get out there and go out to the highways and the byways. Bring in the bums. Bring in the prostitutes. Bring in this. Bring in that. Bring them in, because they have a desire. They have a need, and I will fill their need. That's what God wants to do. We have a town here that's devastated. I mean, in this last 2 weeks, there's 2 families. One family with 5 kids. Mom tried to kill all 5 kids. Do you say that this is not it's happening? It's happening, okay? Another group of teenagers decided they were going to end their life and did a suicide pact. One did it. The other 4 were in Renown. I have one of my chaplains in our hospice programs, the chaplain for Renown. And in fact, the news brought it up. 5 of them tried to commit suicide. One accomplished it. That's sad. But that also tells you and I, there's a job. You know, we talk about missionaries overseas. There's a mission field right out there. Every one of you can be missionaries, going to the highways and byways and bring them into the house of God. And let God, don't, this pastor, I'm nothing, I'm just another person, okay? Let God bring them in and let God heal them. Let God save them. Let God do the work that God wants to do. And if we can do that, go into the highways and the byways and bring them, God will compel them, save them, fill them, and take care of them. And then we can disciple them. And that's what this church is all about. It's not about going out there and getting other people from other churches. You know what it's about? Going into the highways and the byways and compelling them. There is so many people out there that are dying and going to hell that needs you. You. You're the answer. You're the answer. be the answer God is looking for 2015. Let's, through the grace of God and through the anointing of God, fill this church with people that want God. Fill this church with people that desire something more than what they're receiving out there, because they're not receiving nothing but hell. Let's give them heaven. Let's give them the Holy Spirit. Let's give them Jesus. Let Jesus take over.